Moncrief on News Talk.
Sponsored by Avant Card. With personalised pricing, our rates are made for you.
Jonathan De Burka Butler is with us once again to bring us some stories from other parts of the world. Jonathan, good
Sean,
afternoon
how are you
to you. Hong Kong we're going to first, and this is a trial. The umbrella protesters, what were they?
Yeah, you remember it got quite a bit of coverage back in 2014. So when a group of protesters from various different organisations banded together and basically put a stop to central Hong Kong for the guts of 3 or 4 months. Effectively, they were pro-democracy activists. Mm. And I suppose the most famous of them is a young fellow called Joshua Wong, who's now 22. He would have been 18 at the time, and he's kind of become a poster boy for, you know, freedom of expression, shall we say, in Hong Kong. Yeah. The three people that we're focusing on in this particular case are a little bit older. They range in ages from 54 to 74, two professors and a Baptist minister. And they are facing charges, basically, of disrupting the peace, causing common injury done to the public by way of unlawful obstruction of public places and roads during those protests 4 years ago. So they could face up to 7 years in prison, although it seems unlikely that they will be thrown in for that long, given that Joshua Wong has kind of been in and out of prison for several different charges for months at a time. But still, China clamping down in that part of the world.
Yeah, and of course, this is an ongoing struggle, I suppose, to hang on to what was there before in Hong Kong. Is it a row between Brazil and Cuba over doctors?
It is, yeah. There's a lot of Cuban doctors working in Brazil. Apparently, Cuba has a policy, a kind of a more doctors' aid program. It operates in about 67 countries. They make $11 billion out of it a year, so it's their biggest export, as far as I know.
Okay, so not strictly speaking aid, then, if people are paying for it.
Yeah. So there's about 8,000 of them, as I said, in Cuba. But Mr. Bolsonaro, who I have a funny feeling we're going to be hearing a hell of a lot about over the coming months and years, has basically insulted them. He's questioned the doctor's qualifications. He said that Cuba isn't allowing their families to come and join them in Brazil, and he's saying that the Cubans are keeping 75% of their wages in Havana for themselves. So the Cubans have responded, and there's quite probably a bit of ideological friction going on here as well.
You'd think so.
But the Cubans have responded by saying they're going to withdraw all of the doctors from the country. And they've started with 196 who were greeted in Havana last week, apparently by the deputy health minister. So they're going full guns for this, and they're going to say, right, you slag our doctors and we'll see how you get on with how your health system gets on.
Yeah, I don't see why, even if Bolsonaro's accusations are true, that they're keeping 75% of their pay, why would he care? He's getting free doctors.
Yeah, pretty much, yeah. And so it's kind of stupid on his part. I think what he sees it is as a great sort of a representation of the fact that Brazilian doctors are being kept out of jobs because they're being undercut by these, you know, cheap Cubans. The fact of the matter is that the Cubans are going into places that other doctors won't go into. That's part of it, the problem as well. So he'll find out, but we'll see. He's going to be an interesting guy to monitor over the next while.
Right, Peru, we're going to go to, not too far away. And the ex-president there is looking for asylum.
Yeah, in Uruguay, would you believe? So this is a guy, Alan Garcia, who actually had two terms in office. He was president from 1985 to 1990 and then again from 2006 to 2011. And like so many politicians from that part of the world, he has been caught up in this Odebrecht scandal. In his specific case, it's thought that he's accused at least of taking a bribe in order to give a contract to Odebrecht for the building of a metro line in Lima. Of course, he says that he's innocent and that all of the case against him is politically motivated. He travelled all the way back from Spain in order to, you know, face the charges. Hmm. And when he got to Peru, the prosecutor basically said that he was going to delay the process and while the investigation was being carried out, and he wants to keep Garcia in the country for 18 months. Garcia said after the initial hearing that he would accept this, and then quickly went off to the embassy of Uruguay To seek asylum in Uruguay, and that that petition is pending.
Now, obviously, yes. Well, that tells you what he thinks his chances are.
Yes.
Right. Gabon, we're going to now. And this is a story about the Constitutional Court and perhaps overreaching.
I think so, a little bit. You might remember, actually, the last time we spoke about this was when Ali Bongo Ondimba, who's the president of Gabon, he's 59 years old, was in Riyadh for that economic summit that was quite controversial at the end of October, and he got quite ill. Now, his spokespeople were saying that it was general fatigue, severe fatigue, but given that he's sort of 3 weeks away from the country and still in Riyadh, they had to come clean that there was actual surgery involved, and it looks like he might have actually had a stroke.
Crikey.
So this is causing a bit of consternation in Gabon, and the Prime Minister of Gabon went to the Constitutional Court and asked them to give a ruling on, you know, what are we going to do, basically? So the Constitutional Court gave permission to the Vice President to hold a cabinet meeting, and that cabinet meeting went ahead. But the opposition are saying that that is completely outside of her remit. They point to the fact that the judge in this case, or the President of the Constitutional Court, is a close friend of Mr. Bongo, and would probably do anything to sort of see his position extended until he gets better.
Yeah.
But it's more than likely wholly illegal, even though the decision was taken by the President of the Constitution.
Where is he now?
He's in Riyadh still.
He's still in Riyadh?
Yeah.
Okay.
And so what should happen basically is that a decision should be made on when to hold an election and what kind of capacity he can serve in away from home. So that's not been done.
And it's still not clear whether he's completely incapacitated or
exactly,
not really.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're going to go to Kenya now, and a story involving abortion and an NGO.
Yes, this is the Mary Stopes, I think, Foundation, started in London in 1976. They operate in 37 countries, and they're effectively there to advise people on reproductive challenges, shall we say.
Yeah.
Okay, and I suppose...
There was a Mary Stokes clinic in Belfast for a long time. There was long-running protests outside of it, course.
Well, there you go. Absolutely. Okay, so in a place like Kenya where abortion is legal unless the mother's health is in danger, you can imagine that an organisation like this is quite contentious, okay? It's controversial. So the Medical Practitioners Board basically has said that they want them to stop their practices. Now, the foundation itself says all they do is offer advice and counselling, that they don't actually, you know, give tablets or any other advice as to where you might get, you know, what you want, shall we say. So the complaint was brought against them because they were advertising effectively, and various different pro-life groups, and in fact the head of the, I think what we'd call the advertising board there, made complaints against them and said that they were overstepping the mark, and they have been asked to step down from the services that they're offering at the moment.
Right, okay. Finally, and we do so many grim stories in this slot, in Yemen, I suppose the grimmest of the grim,
there is a tiny
sliver of hope,
perhaps.
There is,
yeah, the Houthi rebels have said that they are halting drone and missile strikes on the Saudi-led military coalition, and that's on the back of a request from the United Nations. The Saudis have basically said they will go into talks with the Houthis if both sides manage to keep the peace for a time. So it looks like this will allow aid to come into the country, which is much needed, given that over a million people, if not, that's the last time I saw anyway, which was about a month ago, are starving, and some are dying already. It's a relatively positive move. So we will see how it pans out, but hopefully it pans out.
Yeah, one can't help but wonder, is this in any way connected to events in the Saudi embassy in Turkey of a few weeks ago?
Certainly a lot of attention was drawn to the situation in Yemen because of that. And it's a horrible thing that happened, but if something good of it comes, well, then that's positive, I suppose.
Right, okay, so what should we look out for in the next week or so?
Yeah, Spain's Prime Minister is on a visit to Morocco in the coming week. Elections in, and of course there's all sorts of problems there with asylum seekers coming into their exclaves in Morocco. There's elections in Bahrain on Friday, apparently, and over 40 women are contesting those,
so they're
making quite a big deal of
actual elections,
yeah. and connected to that, on Sunday the 25th is International Day for the Elimination of Violence Against Women. So there'll be plenty in the news and in the media about that, I think.
Jonathan, thanks a million for coming in to us.
Sean.
Jonathan DeBurka-Butler there. We'll be back in a couple of minutes.
Moncrief on News Talk.
Sponsored by Avant Card. With personalised pricing, our rates are made for you.